Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday, and it is the 17th of May in the year 2006. Alan, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Now, I went back on my headset. Now, was this better or was the other one better?
I think it's clear. It's pretty clear.
This is clearer?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll stay this way.
Okay.
We have Alan Watt with us of course, our co-host on this broadcast, folks. Our spiritual message.
Yes, Jackie, this sounds great.
Oh, thanks.
It's the best you've sounded in a long time.
Oh, thanks. Okay. All right, well, I'll do it this way from now on, Alan. Mm-hmm. I did this last week, folks. I'm going to do it again because it is something to really think about. It is a quote from the Course in Miracles from the text from page 149. Fear of the will of God is one of the strangest beliefs the human mind has ever made. Now think about that. I'm going to do it one more time. Fear of the will of God is one of the strangest beliefs the human mind has ever made. Alan, thanks for being here tonight.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
And so, before I forget this, I wanted to bring this up. I think you got the same email I did from one of our listeners. The email, his name was Awake Now. He said he's been listening to the broadcast and his eyes are really open.
Uh-huh.
And he sent a link. He put in his search engine, Masonic Chip Program.
Uh-huh.
And I clicked on the link. And I brought up one of the pages. The first one there was the Pennsylvania Masonic Youth Program or something, and it was the CHIP program.
Uh-huh.
And that is the Child's Identification Program, Alan.
Yes.
Where they use biometrics, they use fingerprints, and et cetera, et cetera. And it sounds so good. But the thing that was interesting to me is several years ago, and I'm thinking it's at least 4 or 5 years ago now,
uh-huh.
The state legislature came out with the program. It was passed by the legislature, and it was called the CHIP program, and it was the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Yeah.
For Pennsylvania, and it was for the children whose parents couldn't afford health insurance. No child will be left behind, you know.
That's right.
So then now we have the Masonic, Pennsylvania Masonic CHIP program, And I sent it over to Darren and asked him to post it. Well, he did, beneath one that he had posted several months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's in our Big Brother and cross-posted in children's section. And it was from Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And they're promoting, of course, all this. But what's interesting is they started out here in Pennsylvania. CHIP was the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Oh, I see.
Now we have the Masonic CHIP Program, which is the Child Identification Program, and next it'll be the real CHIP, won't it, Alan?
It's a chip off the old block.
A chip off the old block,
that's
yes. And I wanted to thank our listener who sent that over, and it's just very, very telling just how fast they move and how insidiously, and it's as when I wrote back, I pointed out, you know, that the ostensible reason makes to a naive and a person who isn't aware, it sounds so good. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, we'll get this video and we'll get the fingerprints and the hair, whatever, the DNA, I guess, from the hair, right, Alan?
Yeah.
And then if our child...
their cheek as well, inside their cheek, that they can swab test.
For the DNA?
Yeah.
Well, in this little kit, I think it's a hair sample, or at least the one in Kansas. I don't know, but it's the underhanded and devious way that they work in everything that the elite, that everything that is done.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I know. And it's always for under the pretense of a good cause.
Well, that's the point. It's, It makes you feel so safe, like chipping your loved, beloved pets. And if they get lost, well, my, you can find them. And then you chip your beloved children, and then the beloved husband and wife, and then pretty soon everybody will have to chip.
Yes, but nobody finds it.
So nobody can ever hide. There's no place to hide, is there, Alan?
No, that's the thing.
I know.
They normalize something which really, if you stand back, it is bizarre. But actually normalize bizarreness. And they do. And they said they'd do this at that Loyola meeting where the world scientists met, chaired by Newt Gingrich. And it was sponsored by or paid for by the U.S. Department of Commerce. And it's to do with an implanted chip in the brain. And they said they would promote this through kindergarten, through cartoons, through novels, through movies, and make it a positive thing. And so they can normalize anything that they wish if we fall for it.
Wait, now you lost me somewhere there, Alan. Okay, would you repeat that?
Well, that's their whole agenda, to normalize something which...
Oh, I see.
...is a dangerous idea. If we stand back individually and think about it rationally, it's a dangerous idea. But you can actually normalize it by good marketing strategies, really, to the people.
Uh-huh.
And all you have to do is to give some PR out of how they found this woman's child that was lost.
But how would they normalize planting a chip in the brain, Alan?
They could do it. They can do it whatever they want, because it's done primarily through fiction. Young children already are watching this stuff with their superheroes in the cartoons and in some of the movies.
But how do they make it look good? What are their...
It appears to give them extra enhanced abilities of intellect.
Oh.
Or you don't have to study. You could be downloaded with all the data without studying for it.
Oh.
Or you could have amazing strength or whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's how they're promoting it to the very young children.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. And so they want to be like their heroes, and they know this. They always give people heroes. Children want heroes. So they supply the heroes, and of course they're being programmed for something that's not for them. It's for a small elite to control them
right.
in the future.
Right, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff came to visit, and he brought a flyer that he took off the bulletin board down in Wellsboro.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a page, and it is real in big letters. It says, "Looking for a job? Use this checklist on your interview." If your employer can't meet such simple demands, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a yes or no here to check.
Yeah.
Will you receive at least $1,178 to $1,501 a month, plus room and board? Will you earn 2 pay raises a year for the first 4 years? Will you receive 30 days paid vacation per year? Will you receive a pay raise if you get married? Are full recreational facilities available, i.e. golf, tennis, theater, pool, horseback riding, etc.? Will you be entitled to medical and dental benefits with unlimited sick leave? Will you be accepted without experience? Will you be taught a skill at the firm's expense with full pay? Can you quit after 2 to 4 years to attend college and expect the employer to contribute all but $1,200 to an educational fund of up to $70,000? Will the employer pay for 100% of your college tuition while you're working for him? Can you ask for cash bonuses of up to $40,000? Will the employer pay off your college loans up to $65,000 while you're working for him or her? Will you be allowed to work in locations where you've never been, like Hawaii or Europe? An army of one. And if you cannot, you know, if your employer can't meet the simple demands of these, give him a call. Sergeant Joshua K. Pond.
Mm-hmm.
He's a recruiter for the military.
Yeah.
And I read that and I said, "Hell, I'm gonna go sign up. This is great. All full recreational facilities. I can go to Hawaii or Europe." Isn't this pathetic, Alan?
Well, it's standard PR.
Well, I've never seen one of these before. Maybe they're all over the place.
Well, the old Masonics, the ones used to say I am or I be. In the Middle Ages, they'd say I be for I am. And that was the standard joke in Britain for years when they were recruiting during the troubles in Ireland with the IRA. And it'd say, be all that you can be. You know? And, of course, they said the same thing. You could travel the world and meet people. And, of course, the standard joke was, yeah, and you can run up the Shankill Road with the bullets bouncing at your heels.
Wow.
So they never tell you that there's a bad part about it.
Well, they're not mentioning Iraq, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and where are these recreational facilities, for God's sake, Alan?
Yeah.
And they lie to them. They lie to them. I've got newspaper articles in there and in our section. So you want to go to war?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of these items like this.
Yes.
Like promising some man, I forget what the heck the bonus was, if he would re-up. And once he did, they wouldn't give him his bonus.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to court today, when they try to go to court, you know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
The government always wins.
That's right. And it's also the same when you come down with one of the illnesses after the inoculations. If you're in the military, there's some horror stories come out of the VA hospitals about the kind of treatment they get.
My dad died in a VA hospital, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my friend Mel, he was in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to have surgery on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
It was at least 3 years ago. And they withdrew or lowered the money, withdrew funds from the VA thing.
Yes.
And so they couldn't give him his surgery, so now he gets to have a walker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the stuff they don't promote in the ads, you see.
And you know what I want to say? I know I'm talking a lot, and I know that our listeners, you know, they tune in, a lot of them, because they want to hear you. So if you get any complaints, tell them I get my chance every now and then, too. But I got an email, and it was just phenomenal, and I was formatting it to send over to Darren. And, Alan, it is one of the best I've seen written about the chemtrails, all kinds of things. And I get to this one part, and this is a confirmation about the controlled opposition,
uh-huh.
How 99.5% of what they say is not only truthful, but it's really usually well written and presented.
Yeah.
And then one of the paragraphs in there said something about how was it that 19 hijackers were able to fly around in our airspace for over an hour. And so there we are. Oh, and then, of course, Saddam Hussein was brought into it, the monster Saddam.
Uh-huh.
So there we are, this one fabulous article about global warming, chemtrails, illnesses, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's that one paragraph, and that's the big hook.
Yeah.
You know, they got to keep that lie going. So I went to the website where it was posted. Come to find out it was Cliff Kincaid. And Cliff Kincaid is or was a longtime member. He's one of the phony, you know, controlled opposition, phony conservative, Christian conservatives. And it was on his website. And I said, well, that makes sense. You know, that's the same thing Phyllis Schlafly and all of them do. Tom DeWeese is another one. He just puts out absolutely fabulous information. And I called him one day. And it was something in one of his newsletters that he puts out. He put out free, of course, slick. I mean, it's you have to wonder where they get all their money. But whatever it was so not right. And I called him to talk to him about it. And he said, Jackie, I agree with everything you said. I said, well, then are you going to make amends here? And then he went on. It just slid around me. And basically, I did it to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I was pretty clear that, you know, he had all these little hooks in his stuff. little tiny ones. They look little, but they're big. They're big lies, Alan.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Cliff Kincaid. I'm saying this for the for our listeners who fall for these kinds of things. Folks, you have to watch for the hooks. And any time you read anything that talks about 19 hijackers, you on 911, on, excuse me, September 11th at the World Trade Center debacle, anytime you read that, you know that it's part of the controlled opposition. Because there's nobody out there that's out there with that kind of information, Alan, that doesn't know.
That's right.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, that's the key to it. It's always been this way, though. The strategies that are planned way in advance, like a military-type campaign over the public mindset, they look for what will come out of the public, what the responses will be, and so they always give them the leaders to follow, who seem to give very good information, and as you say, then they spin it off somehow, and that's the little hook that they have in it. So they prepare in advance, even before they start their first move,
yeah,
by putting these people out waiting for the event to happen.
Well, and you know, oftentimes their lies are lies of omission.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know the facts in order to hear.
Yes.
And the, what reminded me of that was in 95, when we were working to stop the Conference of States,
mm-hmm,
there were two, the Senator Jesse Helms,
yeah,
and another U.S. Senator from Colorado,
mm-hmm,
who were promoting the Conference of States and wanted to be delegates,
yeah,
went to it. Well, Phyllis Schlafly waited till it was really won. It was, I mean, they had been beaten, and she put out an absolutely exquisite piece, differently written, differently than anything anybody had written, but she never mentioned Jesse Helms.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned whatever the guy's name was in Colorado,
uh-huh,
and but she wouldn't mention Jesse Helms. He is, of course, a 33rd degree Mason and a member of the Council for National Policy. And if people didn't know what really happened, they wouldn't have known she lied by omission.
That's right. Well, it's easy to present the wrong picture by giving half the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And protect their cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've been wanting to do?
Mm-hmm.
When there's so much information that is given, and sometimes it's so overwhelming to, I mean, even people who are awakening, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And like I had received an email sometime back from somebody who said, so what do we do? Do we just step back and let them steamroller over us and et cetera? And it looks to me like, you know, they're winning. And the one thing that I feel that we've been neglecting in part of the conversation, Alan, and you can present it so beautifully, is the fact that the power that is within each and every individual, and I'm talking, taking it to a level of beyond this physical, in other words, even though it's still in the physical. And I was hoping maybe that you would share with our listeners some of the information that you have imparted in the past and haven't for a long time.
Well, as I said, I'd never be a cheerleader for the people.
I don't know what that means.
What I mean is I would never, ever go out there and tell them it's going to be all right. What I do tell them is that on an individual level, you can make it all right for yourself, maybe. And a spin-off of that, a side effect, is that you can help others along the way, even unintentionally, because I think for every person who truly, and I mean truly, gets beyond the awake stage, I don't mean the awake of realizing you've just been taken over. We've been taken over a long, long, long time ago.
Yes.
And all you're doing really is waking up out of the dream that you've been in for so long, your whole life really, and your parents, and way back into the past. So I tell people, don't panic when you wake up thinking you're just losing it all now. In reality, you never had it.
Okay, but where does that leave an individual?
It's up to the individual if they can even handle that much of it. Most can't even handle that much of it. And that's the common problem that you hear in so many telephone calls, is how do you wake up their friends and their relatives? And I hear that every day. And I say, why are you wasting your time trying to wake up people when the chances are one and maybe 5,000 or more can wake up?
Well, Alan.
So what I tell them is, don't cause friction at home. That's the first thing. Because people spend years trying to change the people around about them.
Uh-huh.
And I said, all that energy could be done trying to help someone who's taken the first step. They're waking up and they need the information. And hopefully, maybe along the road, if your relatives have it in them, by hearing you discuss it with them, maybe they'll be able to come to the same level, but many will choose not to. There's also a choice involved here, a big choice. Many people truly want to believe that they are being well managed, and you can never forget that is a choice they make.
Well,
and so I tell them, don't cause dissension, because it's almost like evangelizing at home. You know what that's like.
Yep.
It's the same thing. And if the person cannot get it or does not want to get it, you'll end up with discord and everyone's unhappy. So it's best to try and find those who are trying to wake up, and take, and even then there's a process of waking up into different levels of awareness. Some get stuck in the money trap, thinking it's just the money. If we can get the money back, it's okay.
No, if we can go back to a gold standard.
That's right. Or if we can just get the right politicians in, it will all change. And all of this kind of thing, they don't realize that it's way beyond that, and that it's always been this way.
Yes.
Oh, it's a train going by. I'll give you an example of that. I don't know if you've heard of Don Scott.
Oh yeah, Donald Scott.
Well, he did a lot on the chemtrails and.
He wrote the brucellosis. Wasn't he one of the authors of the brucellosis triangle?
Yeah, he did that. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, he had got his federal MP, his member of parliament, and furnished her with all this data and went to Ottawa. And she stood up and asked the Ministry of Defense why and what they're doing with all the spraying over the skies. And she had all the facts to back it up, all the data, the photographs, etc., from all over. And the Department of Defense, or the man who was in charge, the politician in charge, says, we do not have to answer you.
We do not have to answer you.
So there's your democracy in action. See, there is no democracy. It's a charade for the public to believe in.
Okay. But let's say you're talking to an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say on the air.
Yeah.
Where you have a lot of people listening.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about this system,
mm-hmm.
and how ancient the system is and how we've always been programmed,
yeah.
how they have cultured us. Literally, the world is their petri dish and we are their organisms.
Yeah, these are all sciences,
yes.
on human behavior.
Okay, Alan, that's what I'm saying. And then on top of that, there are religions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have the Christian religion, you have Judaism or Talmudism, whatever, all religions, even though there is truth there, most of it is more just mind control and programming. You know, people being, quote, the fear of God, he's a good God-fearing man and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond that, too. See, I think that's what part of what's been missing, at least as part of or occasionally, to have people who are caught in that trap, Alan, to be able to see that that is a trap like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they have trapped the soul because they have removed or blocked the ability or the grasp of, for a person to begin to recognize the power that is within.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel that I've been wanting for a few weeks now to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have talked about it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, otherwise, where in that, what use is all of this information
mm-hmm.
if a person sits there bewildered and overwhelmed
yeah.
and says, well, my God, what am I doing here then? And why are we here? What am I here for? You see what I'm saying, Alan?
I know where they all go with it. And again, it depends how much they've come through it all to understand much higher things. Many cannot go higher. Some can.
Yeah, but, you know, unless a seed is planted
mm-hmm.
for an individual to consider.
Yeah. But once the seed's planted and it takes off within themselves, because the first step really is self-analysis. Not world analysis. It's self-analysis.
Yes, and what does that mean? Would you expand on that?
Because, well, if you are truly, in a sense, and this is, again, the occultic side, because they know this is a fact, that you are a microcosm, which basically contains all of the microcosm or everything around you. Everything is known within you. The truth is within you. That's why you can perceive it when you hear it. It's already there, you see. It means that unless you understand yourself, it's know thyself has always been the rule. How can you possibly point out what's wrong in the world if you're all wrong with yourself? That's why we're in the mess we're in. We have control freaks and psychopaths running our lives for us, and they don't reflect for a minute on their own personalities or their own self. They sleep well at night after planning mass slaughters called wars. They go to parties and they laugh and joke, and they have no conscience. They're unable to even look at themselves as they are. So those who must bring the world into a different arena have to start with themselves and look at every part of their own life, who they are as a person, who are they in fact as a spiritual being. What is a spiritual being?
Yes.
And then again, you find out you're constantly at war in this world with yourself.
Yes.
Because this is the place where spirit meets matter, like the contest between spirit and matter.
You know what that reminds me of?
Mm.
The story in the Bible about Jesus sitting out there for 40 days and 40 nights,
mm.
and Satan comes to him
mm-hmm.
and says, hey, if you follow me, look at I'm good. And he showed him all this stuff. You know, you can rule the world, basically.
Uh-huh.
And in the Bible, Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. When I read that, I mean, later, of course, I thought that was a wrestling. That was, we're going to take
it. All allegory.
All allegory, but I'd like to pick this up on the other side of this break. Because, thank you, this is what I hope that we could get into tonight. Folks, we'll be back with you, with Alan Watt, in about a couple of minutes. So you be sure and stay with us.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, Alan. We were talking about the allegory of that story. When I read it later in my life, not, you know, as a young person going to church and stuff, the way it appeared to me was that it was a symbolic of the wrestling that you were talking about.
Yes.
That spiritual nature with the human nature. And when he said, Satan, get thee behind me, well, the thought that occurred to me is I thought, he didn't have to have Satan show him. If we're going with the story in the Bible of the miracles and et cetera, walking on water and da-da-da-da-da, he didn't need anybody or anything to say, well, follow me and I'll give you this and I'll give you that, and you can, because he already knew. And maybe that's the whole point, is knowing within our own selves. And maybe when he said, Satan, get thee behind me, maybe it's when there was no more wrestling. In other words, we're not here to be powerful controllers, to be, quote, wealthy, and nothing wrong with it if we are, if it happens to happen, depending on what we do with it. But I mean the lust or the constant wanting more and more and more, and what we're always wanting more and more and more of is physical stuff. You see what, am I making any sense?
Well, what it is the battle of spirit and matter.
Yes.
Because in matter, everyone needs to eat and live and sleep and have a roof over their head. And of course, the system which we live in is totally artificial and fake. And what it does is exploit all the natural fears people have: poverty, sickness, loneliness, illness, give. So personally, I don't think that riches can even be used properly. We shouldn't be using money at all. It's an anti-human.
Well, I know, but you know, if there is, I maybe was relating to when I owned my business, and I began to question even the business that I was in, because you know it was fitness centers. It was all about, you know, getting the physical body in shape, in condition, healthy. And I was making very good money because the business was successful. It was successful, I do know, because we were giving to those people who came in what they, you know, we were serving them. But the point is, I wondered if it was okay that I was making that kind of money. Well, you know what, Alan? I didn't go into the business to become, quote, rich, and I wasn't rich, but I had lots more than I needed at the time. I went into it because it's what I knew, what I loved doing, and it was serving people. But then you get, then it really does depend on, does it rule us, or does it make us think that we're somebody or something above somebody else because we have, quote, more than that person has.
This system worships multimillionaires.
Yeah, I understand that.
And so that in itself tells you that you can't normalize a deviancy.
Well, I wasn't a millionaire, but I had lots more than I needed.
Yeah.
And
but that's the key to everything, is to see they exploit everything in the system which they've given us.
But I wasn't exploited. That's my whole point, Alan.
Yeah.
What I'm, you said money cannot be used right because we shouldn't even be using money.
That's right. It's a deviant system.
Yes, of course it is. However, it is a system that we are within right now, and you are too.
Mm-hmm.
You need money.
Yeah, we've all been,
given
no choice.
And my point is, it depends. If we have money, how we are with it. Does it make us think that, oh, wow, you know, we're somebody really good or superior or better or somehow over other people? Or is it just something that's happening to us in our life and maybe we use it for helping other people who are lacking in... You see what I'm saying, Alan?
Well, I think it's getting off the whole thing. It's the thing is, in a world of matter versus spirit, there's going to be a battle always. And because, I mean, let's be honest here. When you're young, everyone's young, they're fit and healthy, and they want to have a good time and enjoy themselves. They don't want to be burdened with the worries that the adults have or the older people have. But life can really be pretty tough at times for everyone.
You know what? Even if you have money, life can be tough.
Yeah, it can be tough. And the world of matter is always transitory. The world of spirit can possibly, but not always, be eternal.
Yes.
And that's the key, because in ancient times, they did not believe that the spirit had the right to live forever. Or at least the soul. There was a difference between soul and spirit.
Yeah, there is. I mean, in those two words, there is a difference, isn't there?
Big difference.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
In this modern language, there's tending to blend the two together interchangeably.
Would you explain your understanding of the difference between soul and spirit?
Soul was the animating force. Now, that's why even Christians miss this, because they've been brainwashed again in the last century, really.
More than that, all the way through.
Yeah, but really more in the last century, because
okay.
They used to know the difference. They used to know this. They used to be taught that everyone was born with soul, and soul is a sort of life-animating type separate from spirit. And the purpose of soul was to seek out spirit.
Spirit, yes.
And that's why in the New Testament, the disciples asked them how to get everlasting life. You see, if they were already immortal, you wouldn't be asking that. And so he was talking about how to receive spirit, how you gain spirit.
Or gain spirit, or connect with and recognize and...
It comes to the person, and this was taught long before the Christian era. that when you were on the right path with yourself, then the spirit that was made for you, that part of you that was separated when you came into the physical world, it would draw closer and closer, and when it united, then you had the knowing that you would then go on. If the spirit did not come to you in your lifetime, the soul literally after death could sort of linger for maybe a few centuries and then die away or be recycled, but know nothing.
And whose belief is that? The ancient belief?
That was what they believed in all of the ancient religions.
Well, you know what? When I think of spirit, quote, having to come closer to us or come into us or whatever, what would we call it? The consciousness of everything that is in this physical world. And I'll use as an example the consciousness of plant. There is a consciousness there, Alan, and you know that.
I know there's an awareness here, you know.
A lower form of consciousness. I'm not saying a plant thinks,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, we do know, I've experienced it myself with plants. They respond to us, to the care they're given, to the love that, or love your plants. I don't, maybe that's not the word to use for it, but they respond to love. An acknowledgement or maybe an understanding that there is a consciousness in all things. Now, what is that consciousness? I call it creator, because what else would it be, Alan?
Yeah, but again, it's not through everything. And see, that was the old Gnostic teaching.
What do you mean it isn't through everything? What does that mean?
Well, like rock and everything else, you know.
How do you know that?
That's just my personal understanding.
Okay.
And the fact is, we're getting back to people again. People have to know themselves before they can truly come close to anything called, or we'd even vaguely call, a creator.
Well, you know, there's another story in the Bible about the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not saying that what I'm saying is so, but there's something, it's in me, and it's been in me ever since I can remember. So this isn't like, oh, because I read something, Alan. But the story of the prodigal son, to me, represents or is allegory to those of us who are of our Creator, which all is. But yet, if, for example, we'll take an atheist, that there is, quote, no God, or there's nothing higher than, quote, the human being. But but it doesn't matter what they think, because what is, that we are of our Father Creator. And we can turn our back and we can say it doesn't exist, nothing else exists except humanity. It doesn't make a difference. And yet, once we begin to realize that and turn toward that awareness, that consciousness, it's there, because we cannot be separated from it. That would be pretty scary, to think that we have to do something to be one with our Creator. Whether we recognize that or not, then people go, well, you have to do this. You have to say, I believe in Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and then you're saved. Well, there are some people who never even heard the word. So that means they're doomed. You understand what I'm saying, Alan?
Kind of.
Okay, maybe you don't. Well, here's what I'd like to do here. We've had conversations, and there was, when you and Effie had lots of conversations, and of course, you know, she tape recorded them, and she shared some of them with me, and there was a part of it, I happened to stumble across this. I was cleaning out files And I read it, and I said, oh, my God, I want to share this with our listeners. Because it was part of a conversation you and I had had, but I don't tape record our conversations. But she did, and I transcribed this, and this is what you had said in this conversation. You said at the very top of all this, behind all the religions, behind all the masterminds that ever existed and gurus, they have always known that there is such a thing as a spiritual force within everybody that can be utilized, and they're terrified of that, more terrified of that than anything else. And that's the key. If they can keep everybody trapped in a world where everything boils down to things that are produced and procuring wealth, as long as they can keep us trapped in basic material needs, we cannot get to that plane where the real war goes on. And they know this. They've written about this. And that's what stunned me, is they did write about it. And when you have enough people, just enough people, you don't even have to be the 3%, but when you have enough who are honest enough and who are, if you like, self-enlightened, they have come to that plateau who will it to be another way. They have come to that plateau who will it to be another way, and that's when their world will come tumbling down and big changes will be made. And, of course, their world is the world of the elite that has been made here. You said they're well aware of this. That's the weird thing. When you study all their stuff and you get to, they're just using science and they're just using psychology. And then you see that there's a whole battery of atheists there who believe they're many little gods in themselves, and that's all they believe in is themselves. But then you go above them and you find this other bunch at the very top go right back to the start again. They really believe that there's a force in the world and that they themselves are creating it. So they're well aware that others can create an opposite force. Mm-hmm. So you keep people trapped in worry and matter and procuring of material goods, and they'll never come to that realization. They have a real force within themselves, and they really are. They, elite, are really aware of this. They really are. So that's what it takes. But it takes the people to get to a stage of self-enlightenment. And she said, would you say by willpower? You said until that force. She said, would you say the willpower? And you said it's way beyond even willpower. Willpower is a tool to shape it, perhaps, in a direction. But it's far above that. And these characters, as I say, at the top, not the managers, not your visible characters, and not your communists. The communist is the middle management. They're the atheists. They're between. The ones above them are well aware that there's another realm of science that they call it, and they cloud it in a whole bunch of different terms, but they're well aware that there is a science, which is a force, which resides within everybody. And when that force comes into effect by the enlightened person, then their world can literally come shattering down. And she said, but literally it's a force which can literally move. Oh, you said, but literally, literally it's a force which can literally move mountains, literally. She says, in other words, like in the Bible, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And you said, well, that's it. And it's not even, again, faith is an inadequate word. She said, I heard someone express that if I had the faith or made up my mind, I could walk on water. I could do anything, so maybe that. And you said, yes, it's literally a world within a world, and it's tapping into the other world and literally forcing it into the way that it should really be, and yet not playing God with it. Because that's what these guys do. These guys literally play God. She said, in other words, this power they have, this knowledge, they use it in a bad way. Yes, they usurped it a long time ago, and they use it for their own ends. The world is hypnotized right now, The world is under hypnosis. People live their whole life in hypnosis, and they're totally unaware that they can literally change their reality for themselves. They can literally change it for themselves. They get clues along their life. Most people don't even think about the clues, which should be self-evident. Clues where things happen to them that are beyond coincidence. When you're thinking about somebody and the person phones them, when you're really down in the mouth about something and somebody comes up, just phones you out of the blue or comes to visit and says straight out exactly the thing that's on your mind, showing you that there's another world within the world or outside of this world, you could put it that way, and they're way, way beyond the laws of average or coincidence, and yet they let it pass so easily because, again, they're caught up in the material and in the worry. And you said, and children are so into this. If you leave them alone, they really know this. The basic fears that we have, starvation, illness, food, shelter, clothing and so on, companionship and all this kind of stuff, the basic needs have never changed. And yet we're no further forward for the majority than we were probably millions of years ago. And we should be asking, how come? How come? Why is this? And again, once you go into the old ancient history, you find out what we're talking about, and you realize there was nothing I just said that wasn't said thousands of years ago. And when Plato said that they would be the guardians of the ages, they really meant it. They already were. It wasn't a point to come. They already were. And there's your Talmudic back and forth way of thinking. When they see something that they plan again, oftentimes they already were, and what they have you worshiping is what you're going to become. See, that's the key to all of this. They have us worshiping something we have to become in the future. And when they tell us what their future plans were, they really mean they have already done it. There's a two-way mirror all the time with them. So, Alan, when I read this,
yeah,
and it said everything, that there is this force within everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
But the thing is, the problem about reading something that was said that I said to one person.
Why is there a problem with that?
Because it does not apply to everyone.
I know, but what about the people that are listening that it does apply to, Alan? That have been waiting to hear something like that.
Yeah, but the same. But generally, I tell them one on one.
I know, but you can't talk one on one to everybody that's listening.
I've done hundreds.
I don't care. There's been thousands.
Well, the thing is, it's a battle. It's a bigger battle than that going on, and you can't cheer the world on when so many of the public have already chosen where they want to go.
See, I'm not talking about being a cheerleader. I'm just talking about offering to people who have been caught up in the trap,
yeah,
of the religions, like you have to jump through hoops, quote, to quote, be safe, whatever the hell that means.
They're making a choice as well.
But, Alan, if they don't know, and if there's no...
If you want to change them, you are becoming...
I don't want to change anybody. I'm talking about planting seeds of thought, Alan.
Uh-huh. However, you can also antagonize people so easily by basically opposing them. The old story, you oppose not evil, in a sense, is true, because that's when conflict begins.
Well, now, wait a minute. You said that, you know, people should go before every elected official and and ask them what oath they have taken. Isn't
that saying I just said to you did not mean that at all.
Pardon?
When you oppose not evil, it means you don't come against a religious type belief head on, because all you're doing is going to get them to come back at you the same way.
Oh, in you fact, mean you mean
deeper.
What I just read?
Yeah.
You think would is opposing evil?
Oh, that's
because you said it to an individual, and I said it to maybe 100 people or however many are listening.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, when you're teaching a person one-on-one, there's more to it than what I'm just saying. when it's happening. That's what I'm...
You know, you said this on the air one time when you and I were on the air, and you were saying it to thousands of people because we were on the Internet. Why would you do that then and you won't do that now, Alan?
The same kind of thing?
You know what you said? Exactly this. You said the ones that we think are the controllers are not really the controllers. But they're controlled, and the ones that are controlling them know that there is a force, force within everybody.
And
you said their greatest fear.
That's why they are kept. Everyone's kept in fear,
right?
And worry, and threats of wars,
right?
And rumors of wars,
right?
And earthquakes,
right?
And diseases, and famines, and plagues.
Yes.
And of course, to keep everybody in fear.
But you said that, see, you said it on the air on shortwave. And what you said is that their greatest fear is that enough people will discover that power within them.
Enough.
And I said, Alan, how many do you think it would take? And you said, I don't think very many because there aren't very many of them. Alan, I just wanted to talk about this tonight because I'm not opposing evil. I have begun to understand they want opposition.
They thrive on
it. We don't have to oppose that which...
What you do is overcome it.
Well, maybe we just stand for what is right.
That's what overcoming means.
Okay. Yeah. Stand for what is right.
You can go over the head of it.
But you know what I realized is, Alan, that people listen to you, and because of your awesome ability... a gift that you have of a memory of either 1,000 years or all of the books you've read, you have taken us so far out of this matrix, if you would. Cutting through the matrix exactly is what you have been doing. And when you say something, people listen.
Yes.
I could say this 100 times. For example, when I was talking about Jehovah before, I was stuck. That's when you called me after a 2-year hiatus, as you said, you're in a rut.
Yes.
I said, but how do I get out of a rut if they believe in Jehovah? Then you came on the air and you said, Jehovah is Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine how many people who were trying to save me said, well, huh. Jehovah is Lucifer because Alan said it.
Yeah. His name is Holy, 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 and that is 666 in the Kabbalah.
The number of man. We're out of time tonight. Oh, I wish we had another hour. I don't know if we can pick this up next Wednesday, but we'll see.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. Good night, folks.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3